Be reading chapter 8 of Romans, verses 1 through 4, if you'd stand with us as we read this morning, verses 1 through 4.
So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus, and because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit.
Lord, this is such a crucial chapter in your word. It has so much for us. I pray that your Spirit will quicken our hearts to the things that we need to hear, that I need to hear, that each person here needs to hear. And may my voice, my tongue, not get in the way of your Spirit teaching us what you want us to hear, to learn, and to do as a result of your word. May we go out from here changed, new people living in the new way of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We've been in a journey through Romans. We've covered the first seven chapters. And now Paul is summing everything up. It seems like he's bringing it all together here in chapter 8. We could jump from chapter 7, verse 6, which says, "But now we have been released from the law, we have died to it, and are no longer captive to its power. Now we serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit." We could jump from that to chapter 8, verse 1, and pick it up there and continue his thought. He wants us to continue that thought about the answer of the gift of Jesus Christ. Paul presents God's solution to our problem of our slavery to sin and our selfish desires. The Holy Spirit empowers believers to become our sin, to overcome our sin nature, and to live the way that God has called us to live. And when we join with Christ, when we become one with Him in His death, when we die with Christ to our old sin nature, we can now live in freedom, released from the law's grip and condemnation, to serve and to live for God in a new way of life in the Spirit. Now we jump to chapter 8, verse 1. We just got through talking about Paul's struggle to do what is right. And on his own, he tried to do what is right, but he ended up doing what is wrong. And even though he didn't want to do what is wrong, he ended up doing what was wrong. And even though he really loved God's law in his heart, he ended up not doing what he wanted to do. And in his struggle, he cried out and said, "Who can save me from this misery?" And in verse 25 of chapter 7, he says, "Thank God. The answer lies in Jesus Christ our Lord." So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. Now we go to chapter 8, verse 1. So now, after seeing all the depravity of man, how low we have gone, and how far away from God we are in chapter 1, and deserving of God's wrath, in need of justification, and that through faith we can now be made right with God through His grace and His kindness. Now, verse 1, now There is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. What a gift. This gift came in the form of Jesus Christ. And it brings complete forgiveness. Not just partial, but complete forgiveness. No condemnation for those who go to Jesus Christ by faith and receive His gift of forgiveness. We're forgiven. Our slate's been wiped clean. This is the gift. The gospel, the good news that is at the very core of our faith, of Christianity. Condemnation, our guilt. The death penalty was handed down to every human that was born, that is born. We are on death row without hope. We're doomed. Separated from God, having to face His wrath for our negligence, for our rebellion. We were doomed. But then Paul says, thank God. Thank God. Jesus offers forgiveness and freedom from this death sentence. Through faith in Him, He offers us this gift to make us right with God by declaring us not guilty. Not guilty. Taking the sentence, Jesus took the sentence that was and removed that from our slate. Our condemnation He took on Himself. We were acquitted. We were forgiven. We were exonerated. Chapter 5, verse 1 says that we've covered that verse already. Therefore, since we have been made right with God, in God's sight, by faith, we have peace. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. The cloud of guilt that was hanging over our head was removed. The weight that was on our shoulders, the heavy backpack that was hanging on our back was taken off of our backs. And when Satan tries to cast it back on us, cast that cloud over us again, we can claim this promise. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For those who belong to Jesus Christ. Romans 8:34 says, who will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and He's sitting at the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. There is no one to condemn us when Christ is covering us. And this gift also brings with it life. The Holy Spirit gives us life in verse 2. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit, let's just stop there, the life-giving Spirit is in us. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says that Christ is the life-giving Spirit. And in chapter 8, verse 11 of Romans, the Spirit lives in us. The Spirit lives in us. And through the Spirit, we are born again. And in John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus and was inquiring, is seeking the truth. And Jesus said to him, you must be born again. And of course, Nicodemus, it didn't make sense to him. Jesus said, you have to be born of the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us spiritual life. We need to be born again, just as Nicodemus needed to be born again. And in verse 16, we're very familiar with John 3:16. He says that if we believe in Him, we will not perish, but have, what? Eternal life. The Spirit gives us life. And this gift also brings with it freedom. The Holy Spirit that gives us life has the authority over sin, and He gives us the power to overcome it. On our own, we cannot. Verse 2. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. This victory provides freedom from sin's power that held us down with its death grip. We were freed from that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 1, or chapter 5, verse 1 says, "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law." We've been freed through the power of the Holy Spirit. And our efforts are fruitless without the Holy Spirit inside of us, empowering us to walk away from sin. We have to tap into the Holy Spirit's power for this freedom. And along with this gift of freedom, we find salvation. We're saved from facing God's wrath on account of our sins. In verse 3, "The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature." The law could only expose what was hidden, just like an X-ray machine for you medical people out there. The X-ray machine will show you what's going on underneath the skin. It'll reveal a crack in a bone that we don't see. The law could only expose our sin. But that's the only power that the law has, is to show us our need for a doctor or a savior to rescue us, to show us our sin, our brokenness. But it does not have the power to heal us. Our sin nature we were born with only flares up in rebellion when we encounter God's law or His standard of holiness and perfection. When we come up against one of God's laws or God's standard, we just cringe. And sin takes the opportunity to say, "Hey, you can get around that. You can do that on your own. You don't have to worry about God's standard. Here's a better way." That's what sin does inside of us whenever we face God's holiness or His perfect standard. The law does not have power to save us. It can only hand down our death sentence, and that's what it did. We were doomed. No forgiveness, no mercy, no just justice. And that is the death penalty for all who have broken the law. Verse 3, this is incredible. Keep reading. "So God did what the law could not do. He sent His only Son in a body like we sinners have, in a body like yours and mine. He did what the law could not do by sending His Son in a body like us, like ours." Galatians 3:13, "He rescued us." I think we need to read that one. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Mark that one and refer back to that later on your own. "But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When He was hung on the cross, He took upon Himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the Scriptures, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.'" He rescued us from the curse of the law. He saved us from the wrath of God. This is the Christmas story. The baby Jesus, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Emmanuel, God living among us, sitting in our chairs, living in our houses, traipsing through the same mud that we traipse through. Emmanuel, God living among us. He became vulnerable like you and me. Only he lived in victory over temptation. So he could come to our rescue. And that he could save us because he lived a perfect life. He overcame temptation so he could offer up a sacrifice that would take our place and save us from God's wrath. That's the Christmas story. And along with this gift of salvation, we receive the end to sin's control over our soul. God's gift to us is the giving of his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. In verse 3, continuing on, and in the body, in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21, incredible verse. For God made Christ, this is Paul writing and just saying it in other words, for God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. This declared an end to sin's control over us. The law can no longer hold us hostage because our debt has been paid, not partially, but in full. Our debt has been paid in full. Verse 4. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us. He met the requirements for us, fully satisfying the demands that the law had made on us because we had broken it. We deserved to die. He took that death on himself because he was perfect, sinless. And he could take that payment on himself and give his life as a sacrifice for us with his perfect sacrifice. Ephesians chapter 2. Let me read this to you. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you tried to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil and commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in our hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature, but by our very nature, we are subject to God's anger just like everyone else. But God, so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed. You can't take credit for this. This is a gift. This is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for good things you have done so that none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. That's the gift. The gift that comes through Jesus Christ. So who is to benefit from this gift? Does everyone just automatically get this gift of freedom? Let's look at what it says here in verse 1. Chapter 8, verse 1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. Those who have joined with Christ, have united with Him, have become one with Him in dying to ourselves, dying with Christ, united with Him by faith, trusting in His work on the cross to save us. Turning to Jesus for life, we now have a new master. We belong to Jesus Christ, and we now serve Him. Galatians chapter 5, the last two verses, or two of the last verses there, verse 24 and 25 anyway. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since you are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Do you belong to Jesus Christ? Have you surrendered to His Lordship in your life? Those who benefit from this gift are those who belong, who by faith have trusted Jesus Christ to make them right with God, that have received Christ's forgiveness. Those are the ones that belong to Jesus Christ. Have you received His forgiveness? Have you trusted in His work on the cross to save you? As I read in Ephesians, it's not about works. In the first seven chapters, Paul makes it very clear. It's by faith that you're made right with God, not of your works. You can't do enough good things to make God pleased with you. It's through faith in what Jesus Christ has done for us that we're made right with Him. There's another point to be made. Those who benefit from this gift are those who belong to Jesus Christ and those who follow the Spirit, the new way of the Spirit, as earlier we read. We are no longer following our sin nature. In verse 4, He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. We can now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, walk with Him and follow His leading. We can live the life that reflects God's character and His holiness. Romans 13, 9 and 10. Skipping ahead in our series here, Romans 13, 9 and 10. Get to 13 here. 13, 9 and 10. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, and so love fulfills the requirement of God's law. When we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, we can now live the way that God wants us to live. We can love the way God loved us. Without the Holy Spirit in our lives, there's absolutely no way that we can love the way God loves us. And if we follow His Spirit, He empowers us so that we can love the way God designed us to love and live, which fulfills the law's standards. Before the law, God's standard for perfection only frustrated us. Whenever we came upon a law of God's standard, His holiness, it frustrated us because we can't achieve it on our own. And sin used the opportunity to even drag us down, cause us to even try to break the law. But when we walk with the Spirit, we cooperate with Him, and He empowers us and produces us in us the fruit of the Spirit, as we see in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 23. Verse 16 of chapter 5. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives and you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. He goes on to describe what it's like to let your sinful nature control you. And it's miserable, a miserable life that it describes. One that just leaves death and destruction in its wake. But then he turns and says, if you live by the Holy Spirit, you walk with the Holy Spirit, these are the things that come out. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. Missed that one. Self-control. And there's no laws against these things. You see how walking by the Spirit fulfills God's standard. There's no laws against those. It actually supersedes them. Or it equals them, I guess. I don't know if you can supersede perfection. But with the Holy Spirit, we can live according to the way God wants us to live and designed us to live and created us to live. Verse 6 of chapter 8, getting ahead of myself a little bit here, getting into somebody else's message, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. You see how walking with the Spirit brings life to us. It brings peace. So God did what the law could not do. You know, I never realized that the Christmas story was so clearly written in Paul's letter. It's a beautiful picture of the Christmas story. When we are too weak to free ourselves from the tyranny of sin, God sent His Son to do what the law could not do. Jesus Christ became one of us, lived among us in a body like ours. As frail and as vulnerable as it was, He came and entered into our mess and lived among us, so that He could bring an end to sin's rule in our lives. And the only way that He could do that is to lay His life down as a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice for you and for me. That's why we celebrate Christmas. It's because of the gift that He gave to us to free us from sin's hold on us, the condemnation of the law on us, where we couldn't do what is right. Even though we wanted to do what is right, we ended up doing what was wrong. Oh Lord, who can save us from our misery? Jesus Christ. What a gift. When we join with Christ, in essence, when we choose to follow Him, when we follow the Spirit, we have power over our self-centered desires, our sin that has entangled us for years. We can now have victory through Jesus Christ and His gift for us. He saves us and frees us from sin's control that leads to death and so much more. And we're going to look at this in the weeks to come. And more, and we'll talk more about walking in the Spirit next week when Dustin will share from the following four verses, verses 5 through 8. Read those in preparation. Read the whole chapter of chapter 8 in preparation for next week as well. We'll be covering those four verses next week. So do you belong to Jesus Christ? That's the first question. If you want to partake in this gift, You have to belong to Christ. You have to be submitted to His lordship in your life. You must be surrendered. You must have received His gift of forgiveness in your own life. Do you belong to Jesus Christ? If you don't, it's a simple, yet it's a hard thing to do, to surrender your will to God's will. We're arrogant people. I'm saying that I should speak for myself, okay? I'm an arrogant person. I want to do my own thing. To surrender to God is a difficult thing. It's simple, but it's difficult. And every day I have to surrender, take up my cross, die to myself, self-centered desires, and surrender to Jesus Christ every day. Are you following the Spirit? That's the daily surrender that I'm talking about. Surrendering every day to allow Him to take control of our thoughts, because our actions follow what we think about. That's where it starts, allowing Him to have control over every thought that we have that comes into our mind. Are you following the Spirit? One pastor put it this way: we are victors, we are not victims. We can play the victim card every day. Poor me, look what I was dealt. We can do that every day. But we are victors, and we'll see this in the verses to come, that we are mega Nikes. I love that phrase. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. He gives us the power to not be victims any longer of sin and our sin nature. We can no longer use the excuse that sin controls us. I can't help it. Who can free me from this? Jesus Christ can. All you need to do is surrender to Jesus Christ and allow His Spirit to come in and begin to do His work, to produce His fruit in our lives. Is God producing His fruit, the Spirit's fruit in your life? We have the Holy Spirit's power at our disposal to overcome sin and to produce that fruit in our lives. Is He doing that? Are you allowing? Are you cooperating with Him? Am I cooperating with Him to produce that fruit? I pray that God will open your hearts to where God is speaking to you this morning. Maybe you haven't surrendered to Him to begin with. You don't belong to Jesus Christ. You know you're on the outside looking in. I want to challenge you. Talk to me today. Don't put it off longer. Come talk to me after the service. I'll stick around up here, and maybe I know I can steer you to the answer of Jesus Christ. I've experienced that freedom in my own life. And I also know the struggle that continues on when the Holy Spirit empowers us, but we don't always listen. I know that struggle, and I want to pray with you and encourage you in this journey. And God bless as we surrender our lives to the Spirit's control and begin to produce the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Amen.